I'm Tommy Gimler. In order to swim for the University of Virginia last year, you had to chew live goldfish while grabbing a hold of your teammate's pecker. Why things like this are expected to create the ultimate team atmosphere, I have no idea, Andy.
I'm Andy Ostroff, and hey, if voting ended today.
Some people like it.
If voting ended today, the Kansas City Royals would be starting the MLB All-Star game, and that's pretty much garbage. So we'll make our picks tonight, and some of them might be more surprising than the fact that Melissa McCarthy actually has an activewear line.
Are they bibs?
Active eating.
Active eating.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
All right, buddy. Welcome back. No T. Sean Phillips tonight.
But
this is the funny part. He's not here because he has a double date.
Oh, really?
His wife and
he
his
had
girl.
A double date with us. He canceled.
Why did you miss the podcast? Because you had to travel back to Boston. You had some things to do. You had some shows. You had some family matters, right?
Yeah.
So it's great. So you got to travel back to Boston. You can't make it. We got passed up for a double date with a chick that I used to bang.
Are they going to mini golf?
I don't think so. She's one of the few Jews that I nailed.
Oh, good for you, man. She's broadening your horizons.
But I don't even think she was 100% Jewish.
Oh, not after you were done with
it. In the face. So I want to talk about this before we get into the hot mess. So we've been doing the Daily Upper Decker at dailyupperdecker.com. You can find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. You can even find us on Vine. We've been doing it for over 3 years now.
Yep.
And you've been writing for me for what?
Almost 8 months?
Maybe like eight months or so. And in that time, I have never rejected an article that you sent me.
Nope, not
until
one.
Tonight. Why don't until you tell today. Everyone what you wrote about?
I wrote an article about the U.S. World Cup team, the Women's World Cup.
Okay. All right.
Women's soccer.
So the tagline for the Daily Upper Decker is nothing but sports and crap.
Yes.
And then if you go into the about section, we have...
Which I had never seen till today.
We have like three rules, which we have to get you a writing profile on there, by the way.
Yeah, you do. There's sweet pictures of you and a girl with fucked up eyes and Barry Murphy.
But you're not on there. We got to get you on there. So there are like three rules. One of those rules is we will not write about soccer.
By the way, is Frank Rombus a real person?
Frank Rombus is a real person from Nebraska.
Sounds like the most made-up name ever.
No, he lives in Nebraska, but we got to get him out here.
Frank Rombus.
Hey, a lot of people are named after
clouds. That sounds like a name I would
Corey
fill
Cumulus.
Out. That's like a fucking name I would fill out if I wanted like something free at a baseball game and didn't want them to send me shit in the mail.
Frank Rombus.
Frank Rombus from Solomon Avenue.
Maybe that's like a pseudonym for him.
Yeah.
You know, what did Ben Franklin had
Burns.
Silence?
I use Peter Burns when I fill out stuff. PeterBurns@gmail.com, PeterBurns@AOL.com. Yeah, that's my
So if you got, if you became super famous and didn't want to check in under Andy Ostroff, you would check in under Peter Burns all
or
the
Ron
time?
Or Ron Mexico, one of those.
Ron Mexico.
Yeah.
So, hey, Benjamin Franklin had Silence Do Good. Maybe Frank Rombus is, maybe Frank Rombus does want to use his real name, so Frank Rombus is his pseudonym.
Yeah.
But, so for the first time ever, I had to put the kibosh on an article. And
yeah.
I'm sure it was a great article. And you could tell you were super excited about it.
Dude, I was pumped. That women's game against Germany today was awesome because, honestly, it is very fun to watch the U.S. kick the shit out of Germany, whether it's in a soccer game or
well, that,
a history channel.
What is something a Jew would say, Alex, for 200?
Oh, yeah. It's great fun watching Germans lose. But, no, the game was very exciting. The girls play hard. They're super skilled. I mean, I like women's soccer a lot because it's almost the same as just watching the men play soccer. I don't see too much of a difference.
Yeah, but it's soccer. And then, you know.
Yeah, but I like soccer.
It's almost like the same way I feel about women's soccer.
You're going to spend a couple weeks in a foreign country and go to soccer games, and you will change your mind. Like, go to Spain and just go to a few soccer games, and you'll be like, all right, this shit is cool. That's what happened to me.
God,
I
don't know, man.
Soccer. I lived in Spain, and I'm like, soccer's fucking
I'm not into racism and tear gas, man. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
So
what's the article that I wrote instead?
So luckily, the one that was accepted by the board of editors.
Because Tommy's like, I can't put soccer in this. So I was like, all right, fuck you. So I wrote an article about the WNBA.
And you tied it into one of our stories from today about the hazing scandal at the University of Virginia with the men's swimming team. So if you're listening for the first time, men's swimming, and WNBA acceptable. Soccer is not at the Daily Upper Decker. DailyUpperDecker.com. Let's jump into the hot mess, buddy.
The hot mess.
How about a little NBA draft recap? You know, I'm not super excited about the NBA draft because, again, it's such a huge crapshoot, but I thought that some of these side stories that were a result of where some of these guys were drafted last week are fairly interesting. For example, Jahlil Okafor, he didn't seem too excited about joining the 76ers.
No, and why would he be? But here's the thing. Jahlil just needs to play hard for 3 years, and he can go anywhere he wants.
Correct. So you saw that it was like the GIF that made the rounds, right?
I sent you that.
The GIF to where all of a sudden it's like, hey, take the picture. Boom, it was down. And he just has to understand that, like, no matter what you do, every single second of what you do in front of the cameras is going to be scrutinized the next 3 years.
Yeah.
But if you're wondering, like, hey, man, he's an NBA player, why wouldn't he be excited about playing? This is the projected starting lineup for next year's Philadelphia 76ers. Isaiah Cannon?
I don't know.
Kanan.
Sure.
Robert Covington, Jakar Sampson, Nerlens Noel, and Jahlil Okafor.
And Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor play the same position.
I'm gonna say that the over under for their wins is 19.
And what's his name's not gonna play? The dude from Kansas.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
So I mean, you get why he's frustrated. I get it, but you just have to. Just understand, somebody was going to get drafted. Somebody was going to get drafted by them.
It's tough to feel bad for a fucking millionaire, you know?
Right. And based on, like, his attitude.
Like, what, next year of, like, 6 million reasons not to feel bad for him.
But it's also that attitude that had the two teams, the Lakers and the Timberwolves in front of them, pass on him.
Is it, though?
It is. Because, you know, he was the entire season, they were talking about him being the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but then
and
Carl
then it was
Anthony
like, yeah, he's
Towns.
a little bit lackadaisical.
Yeah, but then Carl Anthony Towns went crazy in the tournament.
The Lakers like big men, though, and they decided at the last second to pass and go on to D'Angelo Russell. I'm just saying maybe it's that
maybe.
Attitude. Someone's got to tell him, hey, you got to step back. The next one, Knicks fans.
I liked, but his big knock was his defense, and Krzyzewski was like.
Oh, Okafor? Well,
but Krzyzewski's like, we didn't want him to play defense. Because we needed him on offense.
Okay.
So we don't want him to foul out of the game. Therefore, he can't give us 100% on the defensive end. Because if he fouls out, we're screwed.
So is that all it was? Or was it a matter of, like, you know, he didn't want to practice? He didn't do his free throws? You know, didn't care too much about his...
I don't think there was that. Because Krzyzewski wouldn't put up with that.
I'll tell you, you know who won't put up with this guy? I don't even know how to pronounce his name. And neither did Phil Jackson. The big white dude. Remember we talked about it last week?
Oh, yeah.
The dude who the Knicks took?
Yeah.
Where was he from? Latvia or something?
He's from Latvia.
All right. So he's from Latvia or something. And I'll tell you who's not going to put up with him. Knicks fans. Listen to this Knicks fans' reaction after the Knicks took the 7-foot Gleep from Latvia.
They drafted who? Who the fuck is this? This cocksucker might not even have a fucking green card.
I wonder who he wanted to draft.
At that point?
I honestly thought when the Lakers didn't pick Okafor that the Sixers weren't going to pick him and the Knicks were.
We're going to get Okafor at that point.
Some sort of NBA conspiracy because I felt like they wanted Okafor to go to New York the whole time.
So his name is Kristaps Porzingis, I think, right?
Yes.
Kristaps Porzingis. So Phil Jackson, this is like, so you had that reaction. The dude got booed and he talked
about
getting
booed.
The
best reaction was during the draft when you saw like the little kid just like crying and then taking video of himself and crying and then taking video. It was amazing.
Well, I just don't think that the Knicks are in any position to be patient. And you know, that's all Phil Jackson preached. In his like 2.5, it was a really weird interview, with Chris Broussard from ESPN afterward. Like, and he didn't even know that Porzingis' first name was Kristaps. He kept calling him Kristoff during the interview. Kristoff. So it was really amusing. So I don't know. So he's supposed to be like just a stud on the offensive side of things.
He looks good in his highlight reels, but that's like people are saying they're.
But you're playing Latvia. How good are Latvian basketball players?
Like, people are like, I'd be surprised if Manuel Mudiay isn't like the best player, and I'd be like, I'd be surprised if you saw him play for more than a fucking highlight reel. Like,
is Latvia one of the former Soviet Republic or Soviet Union?
Yeah, Latvia is Eastern Europe.
It's one of those. Yeah, I bet you they're like
from
they're not even
seals
the,
from.
They're not even like one of the. They're not even the best old Soviet.
No, the Latvian team was good, man. Remember they had like.
Have they medaled? Have they ever medaled in the Olympics?
Yeah, I think they've gotten bronze.
Okay, well then yeah. I'll take it back. But I
no Latvia has been good. Was it Drazen Petrovic Latvian?
No. Was he?
Yeah.
He was. He was killed in a car crash.
Yeah, he was badass, man.
Moving on, Frank Kaminsky going to Charlotte. Do you remember why this is pretty?
I know,
pretty amazing why it's a story.
It was a boring city, but I think what the story about Frank Kaminsky was were those tanks on the inside of his suit jacket. He got a little
Frank
bit of money.
The tank.
He could buy a suit because he looked like shit at the Wooden Awards. He was wearing like that mustard-colored suit that didn't fit him right.
Well, he's a 7-foot white kid from Illinois.
Dude,
you know, he's not supposed to look good. If you're a 7-foot white kid from Illinois, something's in the water.
He's such a goof.
But this is what he had to say about Charlotte last year, and it's like it's the response you want to hear. If you're a Wisconsin Badgers fan, right? So they asked him last year, why are you coming back? He could have been a lottery pick last year. So he said, why are you coming back to Wisconsin? He said, I know the NBA has their crazy fans and all, but if you look at all of their games, there are games when teams like the Bobcats get hardly any fans and it looks flat out boring. At the Kohl Center, we play in front of nearly 17,000 fans every single time we step onto the court. When we travel, we play in front of sellout crowds who absolutely hate us. Not because of who is on the team, but because of where we go to school. Who could leave that? And it's
yeah,
a great quote. It
but
just, it's rather unfortunate.
He's playing for the Hornets now, not the Bobcats.
All right. But it's just it's crazy that that's where he ended up.
Yeah.
Out of all the teams, because they could have taken Justice Winslow. They passed on Winslow.
I don't know why anyone passed on Winslow. He fell too far, man. And the fucking Pacers picked up Miles Turner. The dude who's like the same as like they already have a huge guy who's gonna go to the Knicks. Just watch. But my favorite quote on Miles Turner was Jay Billis said he had trouble running in a straight line.
Who says that?
I don't know even what the fuck that means.
What, does he have trouble with his ears?
He's just not good at
he's
running.
Got trouble
in a
with balance.
Line,
he's like
but he's good at other things. Yeah, but he like led the Big 12 in blocks.
Who says that about
but
someone?
But didn't even start every game.
And who says that about
he was
somebody?
The player was asked why he didn't start every game, and he said because he wasn't good enough.
Why didn't you start? I guess I can't run in a straight line.
Yeah.
That must be the worst scouting report I've ever heard about anybody.
Well, Billis was like, he just has trouble running in a straight line. I tweeted that. I was like, what did he
did everybody laugh about that?
No, they were no. Like, oh,
yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, sounds
dude,
good.
All they do is kiss each other's ass at the draft. Like, there's a finite information amount of information on each player. So they say it, and then they repeat it, and then they just endorse each other. And they're like, Jalen's player comparison. It's just like, yeah, okay. And white guys are always compared with white guys.
All right. And then finally, and this will wrap up our NBA draft recap.
Are you going to talk about Stanley Johnson's suit?
No, I don't care about it.
He looked like
I care.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when he went to that high school and turned his blazer inside out.
Well, then maybe Alex Trebek can rap about it. And again, this is on the same level, except maybe like just a tad higher than Kaminsky going to Charlotte after he said that about them. Larry Nance Jr.
This
in 2012,
best.
Sending out a tweet about Kobe Bryant where he called him a rapist. Here was the tweet. I guess the Lakers were going to play the Nuggets in Denver. Larry Nance Jr. at LarryDN22 tweets out, I sure hope Kobe can keep his hands to himself in Denver this time. Hashtag rapist.
Yeah, well, Kobe's going to start tweeting him jokes about Crohn's disease. So.
Is that what he has?
Yeah, he's got Crohn's disease.
Well, I can't wait to see that.
He's going to shit himself on the bus all the time.
So supposedly they made nice and everything, but it's
well,
just, what are the odds
Larry
at
Nance
that point?
Jr. sent Kobe a letter addressed to Mr. Bryant. He's like, dear Mr. Bryant. I respect you.
But again, what are the odds? All the teams that you could possibly go to, and he goes to the one where he
yeah, it's
referred
funny.
To their best player
First of all,
as a
rapist.
The odds
of getting drafted anyways are pretty high.
So I thought based on everything that happened, I thought, you know, again, I'm not high in the NBA draft because of how big of a crapshoot it is, but I thought that the storylines, you know, in the first round, I don't even care about the second round, but the first round,
this
there were a lot of storylines
yeah.
this year where it's like, man, we got to talk about this.
Yeah, this year wasn't bad. It's actually worth watching.
The Hot Mess.
You might recognize Luke Ridenour from the phrase, who the fuck is Luke
Ridenour? No, Luke Ridenour was a fucking McDonald's All-American, Parade All-American. Like, I remember hearing about Luke Ridenour when I was in high school.
Right, so at that point, you remember him. But, like, would you have even thought that Luke Ridenour would have a 12-year career at this point? I didn't even
Probably
know he was
not.
Still in the league. I didn't know he was still in the
Probably
league.
Probably not, but Luke Ridenour, fucking
and that's,
successful
Well, that's
player,
what
man.
Happens when you play in Seattle and then Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And that you lose track of him. It was like, I
he
remember
was somewhere else too. There was somewhere in those.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's been on four different teams this offseason. So yeah,
four
he's
different
been
teams this week.
Yeah.
Dude.
He's been somewhere else. That's
and
one
the
way
last
to put
2 weeks,
it.
I think he's been on five teams actually.
So he spent, looks like five seasons in Seattle, then two in Milwaukee, three in Minnesota, another one in Milwaukee. I don't know. He's in Milwaukee and Charlotte the same year. Then he was in Orlando last year. But this is what his week has turned out to be.
Oh, yeah. He's not moving. He's just getting new jerseys in the mail.
Let's see. Since the end of the season, Ridenour has been shipped from the Orlando Magic to the Memphis Grizzlies, from the Grizzlies to the Hornets, and from the Hornets to the Thunder. So what's...
Yeah, but he just got traded again.
Right, I think to the Thunder, right? No,
no
to not
the
to the Raptors.
Raptors.
So now he's to the Raptors.
Yeah, now he's to the Raptors. And the Raptors seem to actually like him, so.
I think it's one of the craziest things
but
I've ever heard.
But at least he's on, like, good teams.
I think this only happens, like, this reminds me of, like, if you're, like, a middle reliever in baseball. I feel like middle relievers
like
play for, like, 12
guys,
different
man,
teams in their
could
career.
Be good.
But I don't even know if that.
Dude, imagine how much better the Cavs would have been if they had Luke Ridenour on their team in the finals.
I don't think very.
They would have been all right.
I don't know about that.
I don't think they would have won.
I don't think there's any more to this story. I was just like, who the hell gets traded four times in one offseason?
Nobody. That's why he's making stories. Luke Ridenour is making more news off the court than he has on the court in years.
Well, speaking of someone who should be a nobody, the New York Giants punter Steve Weatherford ripped the Eagles quarterback situation last week. Did you read what he said?
I did, but also Steve Weatherford is probably the most ripped dude in the NFL. Have you seen a picture of this guy?
Yeah, he's like an all-world athlete.
He's
like
a great
athlete. He competes in all these other things. But the bottom line is that he's still a punter.
Yeah, and he's still making, what, $6 million a year doing nothing except kicking a football?
Right. Well, but the thing is, like, it's the fact that
he drives like a fucking minivan around, too. He's a badass. I like this guy.
Well, the Eagles, Jason Kelce, like, chimed in on it. Like, when did interviewing punters become a thing? So,
yeah, but when did interviewing punters who were correct become a thing? Who cares?
Right. Well, that's the thing. So
Vanderjack, who's a dipshit, idiot kicker.
Right, so that's the thing. Do you think he was out of line about what he said, or do you think he pretty much nailed it right on the head?
I mean, he nailed it right on the head.
If you don't know what he said, so basically Steve Weatherford, the Giants punter, went on WFAN last week on the Boomer and Carton show and said, just basically ripped the Eagles QB situation. So talking about Tim Tebow, he said, I'm the biggest Tim Tebow fan in the world. I mean, who wouldn't want their daughter to date a guy like that? I'll tell you what, I don't want him taking snaps for my team.
Yeah, correct.
And that is 100% correct. You know, yeah. Survey says... Number one answer. Then he started talking about...
I would let Tim Tebow play quarterback. I would. I like him. He wins.
Well, so then he also said
Where's
about...
Where does he go when he loses? Does Tim Tebow ever fucking go anywhere and lose? No.
The Jets?
He didn't play.
Yeah, he didn't win either.
Because he wasn't playing.
Weatherford also compared...
Tim Tebow fucking took the Broncos to the second round of the playoffs.
I think it was more than Tim Tebow. It was a hell of a defense.
I
Weatherford compared
shit,
Bradford
Tim Tebow
to a sports car and Mark Sanchez to a more reliable model. I'm going to give you a Ferrari that maybe won't be running all the time, or I'm going to give you a nice Cadillac sedan. It's not the fastest, but you know what you're going to get out of it. Bradford can go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, but you don't know if he's going to start up some days.
It's not right. I mean, it's not wrong.
It's perfect. So,
it's a great analogy. It's very well thought out.
So, of course, Kelce went on Twitter yesterday and said, of course, a player who is literally not allowed to be touched is talking shit. Is interviewing punters a thing now? And then Steve Weatherford, of course. And this is Steve Weatherford at this point. Like, if you are this super jacked man and this badass, like, hold your ground. Yeah, I said it. And I'm right.
Yeah, he's jacked. He's also like fucking 6'2", just big dude.
Yeah, but he backtracked. He's like, did you even read the quotes or did you generate your opinion based on the headline? And then he went back, he went on 97.5 The Fanatic and explained that, oh, no, I was talking about when I have Eli Manning, a 2-time Super Bowl champion. You know, I don't want anybody else taking snaps from my team, especially someone like Tim Tebow. But I gave him the ultimate compliment. And, you know, that is that I would let him date my daughter. So it's like, no, you don't backtrack. You say, no, I said what I meant. I don't like their quarterback situation. You don't back down when one person on the other team rips you on Twitter.
Yeah, but there could have been some stuff behind closed doors that were not on Twitter said to him, too.
Like maybe the Giants Giants front office said, hey, you better go on there and say something.
Hey, with their cigar.
What is that? Is that the way the Rudies talk?
Well, they're fucking real old, aren't they?
All right, well, let's see it. You're a comic. Give me the impression, your impression of, that's not the Rooneys. They're the Maras.
Oh,
the
yeah,
Maras.
The Rooneys are the Pittsburgh. Yeah,
so
but
give
they're,
me your impression.
They're fucking related, man. It's so incestual.
Maras and Rooneys are related?
Yeah.
Isn't there a Rooney Mara? Is that the actress?
Boom.
So she was named after?
Pretty sure.
Come on.
Yeah, dude. They're all fucking buddies.
We got to get Rikish on that.
Ah, Rikish.
So give me your impression. If I had this, if I said, hey, impersonate the Giants owner, Mara.
Ooh, what's Twitter? In my day. When you had a problem with a man, you just punched him in the nose.
You sound more like Family Guy's Buzz Killington. Some kind of like old English, you know.
Oh, well.
All right, so hey, we're gonna move on here.
Why do they call it a football if you use your hands?
While we're talking about football, I want to move on to this. The Washington Post had an amazing quiz today, where they were talking about how people who are defending the Confederate flag and the people who are defending the Redskins logo and like the Redskins as a team name or
it's
a mascot.
An amazing idea. I haven't read this yet.
Well, they had said that basically what they said is they said that. The people on both sides, like if you're defending the Confederate flag, you're defending the Redskins logo, they're making very similar arguments. By the way, I had someone on Facebook ask me to let me bring it up. I want to see exactly what it was. She asked me to like basically like join a group or like her page that was like protect the flag.
For the Redskins or for the Confederates?
No, for the Confederate flag. It was like, yeah, will you please join my group, like protect the flag.
The biggest difference between the Redskins and the Confederate flag is the Redskins have a few Super Bowls. The Confederate flag didn't win shit.
Heidi Niederer invited you to like KTF, keep the flag. I'm going to have to decline that one. I'm not going to.
Wait. I think you should accept it just so we can see what was written on the wall of that group.
It's a Confederate. All right, here it is. So she's got a picture. 3,005 people like this page.
Dude, I heard, I don't know if this is true, I heard this, that the guy who shot up the church has like a Kickstarter campaign for his legal defense.
Really? So how was he able to get online? How do you allow that guy to get online?
Somebody did it. And it has over like $4 million in donations.
Wow, that's sad.
People are evil as fuck.
Yeah, so this page just has like statues with like Confederate flags around them, trucks bearing Confederate flags.
Dude, did you see the video posted today? There was like a Confederate flag rally. Where was it? I think it was in Georgia.
The South?
Somewhere in the South. And this guy's like, oh, that is fucked up. So look at these motherfuckers. He's like, oh, and the police are closing the streets, all this stuff. Anyway, he's like, they're going to hit each other. Three-car pileup in their fucking parade.
Oh, that's
trucks
right.
Of trucks,
that's right.
Yeah.
It was North Carolina.
Some shit. Hmm.
All right, so
some town where everyone's related.
So the Washington Post did this. So they took these quotes, and someone at the Washington Post noticed that the quotes for people defending the Confederate flag and the quotes for people defending the Redskins logo were fairly similar.
That's
so
amazing.
What I want to do with you, and I'm glad you didn't look at it. I didn't look at it either. I want to take this quiz with you right now. So Here's the quote. It is a symbol of everything we stand for, strength, courage, pride, and respect. Is that for the Redskins or the Confederate flag?
I'm going to say Redskins on that one.
All right, we'll choose Redskins. That is correct. Yeah. That was owner. That was the team owner, Daniel Snyder, in a letter to fans written in 2013. Number two, they feel passionate about it. They think it represents positives and pride and tradition, and there are different views out there. So all of us have to be respectful enough to understand that. Redskins or Confederate flag?
I'd say that's the Confederate flag.
Just are you doing it just because the first one is Redskins?
No, it just sounded pretty fucking general and
it sounds
stupid.
Like something a racist fuck show would say.
Yeah, it sounds like something. Oh no, we're not racist. We just have pride in this.
We were wrong. That is actually something NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said when he was asked about the
so
team in
cool.
2013.
We weren't completely wrong.
We weren't that far off.
Yeah. He's such a racist that he's punishing Tom Brady to show that he's not racist.
That's all it's about. Number three, I'm not arguing to keep it. That's not the point. We're so beyond that. That's not the point. The point is, as everything else the left does, what they tell you they're irritated about is not where it ends. That has to be Confederate flag.
Because it doesn't make sense? Or did you just mess
who would up? Mention? Who, no, who would? Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make sense. They keep saying that's not the point a couple times in there. It has to be the Confederate flag because they mentioned the left. Correct. This was syndicated talk host Rush Limbaugh. That's why it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. He's
discussing the Confederate flag this year.
I wonder what he thinks about Tyshawn's double date.
A group that purports to represent people should at least have a consistent message, not one of selective outrage. Confederate flag.
Sure.
What do you think?
What was that quote? A group that represents people.
A group that purports to represent people should at least have a consistent message, not one of selective outrage.
Yeah, let's do the Confederacy.
Correct. This comes from a letter to the editor of the Post and Courier, published in 2006. God, we're good at this, man. Yeah. I'm not a political correctness freak.
Fact or fudge.
Yeah, that is. This is. I am not a political correctness freak. It is not a racial slur.
Redskins.
Yeah, it has to be. Nope. This was actually Oliver North during his 1994 candidacy for the U.S. Senate.
What the fuck? He's talking about the Confederacy.
The Confederate flag? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't fucking get that one.
Look it. Change is, look it is the first word. That's got to be Confederate flag.
Yeah, fuck that
Confederate
one.
Flag. Nope. This was actually Rush Limbaugh again, this time talking about the Redskins' name.
Man.
Number seven, our traditions are under a relentless attack by race demagogues and their willing accomplices in the media. No one should get the idea that they all have to do is that all they have to do is proclaim, "I am offended," and expect that their subjective feelings will have the force of law.
That one sounds really ridiculous, so I'm going to go with Redskins.
Nope, this is actually from a 2000 letter to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution defending the Georgia state flag and the Confederate flag. Number eight, it's all the politically correct idiots in America. That's all it is. It's got nothing to do with anything else. We're going to change something because we can. Hey, listen, I went through it in the 60s, too. I mean, come on. Everybody lined up, did this. It's fine to protest. That's your right. If you don't like it, protest. Confederate flag. Come on, Confederate flag. Redskins. This was actually former NFL NFLer Mike Ditka in a 2014 interview.
Ditka said that.
Let's do one more.
All right, please.
We're not racist. We despise racism and bigotry. And we think the people who are creating this cultural cleansing are the real bigots in this story.
I don't even know.
I don't even care anymore. Redskins. No, this was actually Ben Cooter Jones, the actor and former U.S. Congressman. Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I heard him talking about that the other day.
Cooter. Wow, they actually had so many quotes, 16 total quotes. So make sure you go check that out. It's WashingtonPost.com. We started off real hot. We knew what we were talking about. Now, I think once we got the Rush Limbaugh, that really threw us for a loop.
With it, though. I think that was it. They were too wordy for us.
Yeah, and they were also, at the same time, especially the two from Rush Limbaugh, like, you couldn't make sense of what he was talking about.
He's
like,
confusing.
It's very confusing. Unbelievable that he still has his show. And speaking of confusing, let's jump into this. We said we were going to talk about this last week. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the Daily Upper Decker to cast their official MLB All-Star ballot.
All right.
Or their vote. Their official MLB All-Star vote.
The Dud casts a vote for the MLB All-Star game.
Because otherwise... No, I sound like Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, you do.
I'm going to cast our... No, you can cast a ballot, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Daily Upper Decker to cast their official MLB All-Star ballot.
We're ballot casters.
So now one of the reasons why I wanted to do this is because it's ridiculous. Right now, if voting ended today, 5 Kansas City Royals.
And 5 is down from 8. It was at one point.
It was 8.
But that's all you can vote for because you cannot vote for the pitcher, in case anyone's wondering.
No, I think our audience is smart enough to realize that.
I don't. No offense to the audience. I just know some of you don't know that.
But I just thought it was ridiculous that out of all places. Now, Kansas City ranks 10th right now in Major League Baseball in attendance. So their fan support is definitely up.
Yeah,
but the fact that
number one in hacked internet porn.
I did not know that. It's good. That's why we do the podcast. Yeah. It's all about educating the crew out there.
I made that up.
Don't say that. It sounded good. You really came out. You came out with it. So, for example, in the National League, if you look at the National League ballot, it's not bad. Actually, the fans have done a fairly good job. But a lot of the same thing. There are a lot of Cardinals. A lot of Cardinals on the ballot right now.
Cardinals hacked the system.
I think just in the Midwest, there's nothing to do in Missouri except jump online and
hack
in the system.
You didn't get
my Cardinals
computer hacking?
Oh, the Houston Astros. Yeah, unbelievable. I missed it.
Yeah, there we go.
My dog's staring me down right now while he's sitting on your lap. It's disturbing.
My lap.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to cast our official MLB All-Star ballot.
All right.
But what we're going to do is I'm going to actually cast the person who should be representing the position seriously based on their performance so far this year. And then you came up, your assignment was to come up with something like, hey, fuck it. If everyone's just voting for Royals, then we're going to vote on these guys based on just weird shit.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. American League catcher. The current leader is Royals catcher Salvador Perez, and he's got more than a 5 million vote lead on Russell Martin, who's at number two.
From Toronto. Oh, okay, because I voted for Russell Martin.
Because he used to live in Playa del Rey, right down the street?
No, because it's R. Martin, which is close to George R. R. Martin, the guy who wrote Game of Thrones.
Oh, and you're a huge Thrones fan. All right. Dork, that's not bad. My wife might want to apply you because of that. But that's
all right.
If that's what you're going for, man, good start.
Go take this dog for a walk. I got some... Talking about dragons.
This is who actually should be starting at the catcher position for the American League. Steven Vogt from Oakland. Outside of Buster Posey, he might be the best catcher, the best offensive catcher in baseball right now. He leads, he's tied with Salvador Perez for the home run lead among catchers at 13. He leads all AL catchers with 53 RBI. He's got 39 runs scored. He's got an OPS of 919, which is tops among all AL catchers. And he also has a 3.2 WAR, which is top amongst catchers.
I'm going to do a write-in ballot for Jared Saltalamacchia.
I don't even know where he is.
Don't think he's in Atlanta anymore.
Is he down in Florida? Where'd he go?
I don't know. He won a World Series in Boston. I like him.
And then bolted. Yeah, he's in
Bolt. They got rid of him.
Is he in Arizona now or something? Where'd he go? Maybe he's in Arizona. He's somewhere where no one watches him. That's where he goes.
Name.
I think the scorekeepers up in Boston just got sick of it. Like, come on, man, give us someone like Sandy Leon.
Yeah, that's a shorter name.
All right, moving on to first base right now. Thankfully. The voters came to their senses right now, leading Miguel Cabrera for the Detroit Tigers at first base. And that's who should be starting.
Yeah, he's kind of good.
Just kind of. He is. He now has a more than 2 million vote lead on Eric Hosmer of the Royals. So Hosmer led for like a good month. It was ridiculous.
Hosmer.
So Miguel Cabrera basically leads all first basemen in most categories. Not home runs. Albert Pujols hit his 24th tonight, I believe. But Miguel Cabrera is by far the best option at first base for the American League. Who did you take?
I picked Prince Fielder because he's the fattest.
That's what I'm looking for, man. Moving on to second base right now. Omar Infante. Omar, as in like the Omar Infante, who probably hits eighth or ninth every single day. Shitty average. He leads right now where the actual second baseman who should be representing the American League is Jason Kipnis in Cleveland. Unfortunately, he plays for Cleveland, and no one goes to their games, and apparently no one gets online in Cleveland either. But Jason Kipnis leads all second basemen with a .346 batting average. He's got 6 homers, 10 steals, 52 runs scored, and a 4.6 WAR. Omar Infante, on the other hand,
what does WAR stand for?
Wins against replacement. Or wins above replacement. Wins above replacement.
What does that mean?
It's a new sabermetric stat where you're saying, like, if you took this guy away, this is how many wins he's worth. So 4.6 is a lot. Yeah. Well, you try to incorporate everything, right? So we have batting average, home runs, RBI for all the old guys, then you bring in WAR for the new dorks.
RBI for the old guys. RBIs aren't even that new, are they?
They're not that old. They were maybe like 40s, maybe 30s or 40s. But Omar Infante is hitting .234 with 0 home runs, 1 stolen base, and a WAR of 0.4.
Ah.
Yet he's leading at the second base position. Killing so Jason it. Kipnis is who should be there. Who'd you pick?
I picked famous actor William Forsythe on Tampa Bay.
He got shot in Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm.
That was a different character for him. He had to put on a lot of weight.
That's why I picked him.
He's also the dude from Deuce Bigalow, where he's like, I got a thin dick.
Yep.
I think that's why you picked him.
That's why I picked him. Look at this. What do you think that is?
It's actually Logan Forsythe, but I like where your head's at. Very good. He's hitting 290.
Oh, it's a different person.
Yeah, it's a different person, but hey, you know, that this is why I asked you to do that. I'm going with stats, the guy who should really be there. I need jokes from you. Third base, the leading vote getter is now Josh Donaldson, and that is who it should be from the Royal from the Blue Jays. He's taking down Mike Moustakas from
the
Royals.
That catch that guy had the other day was great.
It's great. And hopefully a lot of people saw that, and that's what, even if that's all it took to get him over the hump. But he should be there for sure. Who'd you take?
I picked Plouf.
Trevor Plouf, because it reminds you of the sound you make every morning when you sit down and take your daily constitutional?
Pretty much, man.
All right. Shortstop, you're going to like this one. Actually, right now, the shortstop, the leading vote getter, and he's probably going to be the guy who gets in, is Alcides Escobar from the Royals. But actually, who should be there? Xander Bogaerts, believe
That's
it or
I
not.
Actually from picked, because he's got a great name.
That's it, because it starts with an X. Would he be the first ever, if he started, would he be the first all-star starter that has a name that starts with an X?
I don't know. Xavier McDaniel.
Man, I think he played basketball.
He did.
Okay,
he
very good.
Sonics and the Knicks.
Xander Bogaerts is leading all American League shortstops with a WAR of 2.2. He's hitting .289. He's got 33 ribbies, 33 runs
he's
scored.
He's fucking good and young and awesome. He plays on the Red Sox. I would have voted for all Red Sox if I could.
He's got a higher OPS than Alcides Escobar. He's got a lot. He's got a higher batting average, a lot of higher
he's
numbers.
More
RBI, more home runs. A tad, maybe four runs
he treats
less.
Women and children better.
I'm sure he does.
Just a better person.
So you took Xander Bogaerts as well because he starts with an X. And finally, here in the American League, your outfielders, as of right now, would be Mike Trout, Lorenzo Cain, and Alex Gordon. It should be Mike Trout, J.D. Martinez, and Jose Bautista.
Yeah, I didn't pick any of those.
Who'd you take?
Pick Coco Crisp because my man Covelli is the bomb. I picked
Coco Crisp has like one hit this year.
I picked Pompey from Texas because he's named after that wonderful film. And I picked J.J. Redick, the basketball player from
Josh Redick from Oakland.
Oh, it's a different guy.
Do you know anything about Josh Redick?
No.
Like, he comes out. I hope he's still doing it this year. I haven't been to an Oakland Athletics game because I don't want to get shanked. But I last year he started walking, like, you know, everyone has their walk up to the plate music.
Uh-huh.
So his walkout music was Careless Whisper.
Oh, nice.
By Wham. And it was awesome. And the whole crowd would just start like doing their little shimmy and stuff as he came up. And for a while it was working because he was in a slump. So he's like, fuck it. I'm picking a song. And he started coming out to Wham's Careless Whispers. And that's what they played. They played the saxophone intro and people loved it. But yes, based on stats, Trout is the right call. Lorenzo Cain, maybe, but you're better off going with J.D. Martinez from Detroit and Jose Bautista from the Rays. And then, of course, DH in the American League, Nelson Cruz. That's who they chose. Barely, though, over Kendrys Morales from the Royals, but Nelson Cruz is by far the choice that you want to go with. And I don't think we need to go through the National League because, for the most part, they've got it right. So I think it's time, ladies and gentlemen.
I actually got bored filling out that ballot, by the way.
Well, you know, you're not a baseball guy. You're wearing a Red Sox fan. No, you don't. You don't.
I like baseball.
No, you don't. You're not a baseball guy.
No, I'm not.
You are. What you do like talking about, though, are athletes getting arrested.
I like
so
the Red
let's
Sox.
Let's talk about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to jump into
the
pile.
The pile.
Well, the good news for you is that no one who plays baseball got arrested this past week. So let's start off with number one. So you're going to defend these guys, and again, I am not the judge you want to represent. You know, represent your client in front of. I am a harsh judge, so make sure you bring it this time when we're talking about your clients. Number one up in the pile here, Warren Sapp, the former NFL Hall of Famer and former NFL Network analyst, charged with three counts of first-degree domestic battery after biting his girlfriend and stomping her face in an argument in Las Vegas.
I don't buy it. The only thing Warren Sapp is guilty of is getting hookers while at the Super Bowl because he admitted that in front of the officers like an idiot.
No, I'm telling you, this actually happened. This is something else that happened in Las Vegas.
Until I see the TMZ video of him declaring his guilt to the police officers because he doesn't think it's a crime, although it is, I just don't believe it.
You know, this is the sad part about Warren Sapp is like this isn't like, all right, you know, maybe just put him on probation because, you know, he'll figure it out. This is like his eighth chance.
He'll figure it out. He's in his fucking 40s. He's not playing professional football anymore.
So when
he's had time to figure it out. He should have figured it out at the U. But, I mean, these guys, they get everything every fucking.
You don't figure out anything at the U except how to throw football games and go to strip joints.
Yeah.
That's all you figure out at the U is, like, how to find someone to do your homework, how to find someone to give you money if you fumble the ball intentionally.
There was a song these kids on the team wrote about, like, being on the seventh floor and just doing all this illegal shit. It was like this rap song. It's amazing. Seventh floor.
So Warren Sapp, when we were actually, I was in Phoenix working for Animal Planet at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was getting the shave.
Yeah.
I think you told that on this podcast before.
Then we don't have to talk about it anymore.
That's why.
Let's move on
here.
In the pile, ladies and gentlemen.
He was a dick. That's what it was.
He was. He was a huge dick. And that was a couple of days, so it was karma. It was a couple of days before he got the hookers and then punched one of them. So moving on here in the pile, next up is Laramie Tunsil.
Ah, good name. I would have voted for him for the AL All-Stars.
If he was available, you'd have voted for him.
Fucking Laramie Tunsil, first ballot.
The Ole Miss offensive lineman charged with misdemeanor domestic battery, simple assault after punching his stepfather in the face. Wait for it. After he shoved Tunsil's mother.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, his stepfather is, you know, telling a different side of the story, saying that Tunsil, you know, hit him about six or seven times. So he got a restraining order actually against Tunsil.
Well, here's the thing. If your stepdad pushed your mom, you would punch your stepdad in the face, too.
If not, kill him.
Yeah.
So
there you go. That's my defense.
I have a hard time thinking that he's going to get in trouble for this, and I'm actually going to side with...
He's only guilty of being a hero.
Exactly. And that doesn't just go for anyone who lives in the South. That goes for anyone across this country. If you see, especially someone who's not your real father, your stepfather, if you see another man shove your mom, like I said, I think Tunsil's stepfather is lucky that he's still alive out there, something like this. Moving on here in the pile, Jarrett Stoll, your boy, Jarrett Stoll. A felony charge of possession of a controlled substance dropped. You want to tell that story again?
Oh, how he went through like...
So why he was even like up for a felony charge of possession of a controlled substance.
Cocaine and a bunch of pills in a fucking little pink bag that he was trying to bring into a pool party.
Was it a bag or a balloon? Was it a balloon?
No, it was a little bag.
A little bag. All right. So, yeah, so he's going into Wet Republic in Vegas where he knows he's going to get checked. And it was just, it's a little different.
Here's the thing with him, man. He's sentenced to 32 hours of community service. I think he should be sentenced to 32 hours of learning how to get a fucking VIP host at a casino. Because the casino should just be like, oh, yeah, they point out the guy and they're like, he's VIP, let him do whatever the fuck he wants. Because the Kings bring so much goddamn money to the MGM because they have that, like, that, first of all, they have the preseason exhibition game against the Avalanche every year.
In Vegas? At the
MGM.
Uh-huh.
Where they fill it up, and they could easily bring that to a different fucking casino, because like, the Orleans has a.
Yeah, you would think he would have someone at Wet Republic that he'd be like, "Hey man, I'm coming out. Can you get me some of that shit?"
He didn't bother calling and just figured, and he was like, "Oh, why am I here like a normal person?"
Well, I bet you it was just a different.
And I feel like once the people from Wet Republic realized who he was, it was too late, and they were like, "Fuck our lives."
Yeah, but well, plus it's probably just a different party, right? Like, Probably like a little less care when the champion LA Kings come in compared to like the LA Kings that didn't even make the postseason.
They're like, oh, it's the Kings. Go, 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 go.
Right.
It's just him. And he's like, hey, I want to do coke. My girlfriend's on assignment somewhere else.
So what do you think? 32 hours of community service?
Yeah, it's nothing. Like it. It's a nothing fucking thing.
I think it's great. Fine. And again, it just shows
and
you what
money
And what
am I going to argue in this
buy.
One? He's less guilty than we're making him out to be?
Plus, I think like the judge in Vegas is like, okay, he had coke on him and pills, and he was going to a nightclub. Why is this even in front of me?
Yeah.
You know, and it probably didn't even make it. I'm sure it was a plea deal. It was a plea deal.
It was
that,
something. Then. I mean, I'm sure the MGM wanted to drop their charges, too. So.
It was also noted that Stoll will donate hockey equipment believed to be worth about $50,000 to a youth program.
For free.
Yeah, probably.
Good. Those kids need some skates.
He's a great athlete. That's his sport. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, so moving on here in the pile, George Lee. The Arizona
George
State
Lee.
Freshman
L-E-A.
Defensive tackle.
Don't get that confused.
If you're still listening, it's L-E-A. Arizona State freshman defensive tackle arrested and suspended from the team after walking into his teammate's room with a BB gun and saying, "I heard this is where all the money is at." There's a loaded statement. What money? And he was on the ASU campus.
Yeah.
So believe me, if you're living on the ASU campus, there's no money in that room, man.
Maybe not. But here's
you're living off campus.
One of the witnesses was like, "I think he was just playing around."
Right, but they.
I think he just had beef with one of the other players, and the kid was like, "Oh, he was serious. Get him off the team."
He doesn't look very smart, man. Like, even in his mugshot, he's like, "What the fuck am I doing here, man?"
Yeah.
So he doesn't even care.
Someone should just hit him with a kettlebell.
Multiple felony accounts because of that, because you can't have even a BB gun on the ASU campus.
Oh, man.
So is that your defense for George Lee, is that he was just fucking around?
Yeah, he was probably just fucking around.
Maybe
he was hazing.
I'd have to go back. Do you have a previous record on this guy?
Yeah. Is there a record on George Lee?
I don't know. The BB gun, it said that Lee was probably playing around, but that Lee's actions and demeanor remained serious.
He just doesn't get it, man. He's got no social skills.
Maybe he just needed a sandwich or something. Didn't have any money. He's a big boy. He's a big boy. It's likely that he might have just needed
a sandwich. You know, when you hear the money's at somewhere, you want to find it.
All right, final story here in the pile, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lot like football. It's the University of Virginia swim team.
The best.
There was a lawsuit filed last week against 5 upperclassmen swimmers who allegedly made first-year swimmers chew on live goldfish while grabbing a hold of their teammates' cock and balls during hazing that got just a tad out of hand.
A little bit.
So defend your clients. You're defending the upperclassmen here.
Yeah, they also look like upper-class citizens in their pictures, so I assume these kids could do nothing wrong. Plus, one of them was wearing a bow tie. People with bow ties don't haze.
Right, so it said that the freshmen or first-year swimmers were repeatedly blindfolded and subjected to false imprisonment, forced drinking, which so far is like nothing, verbal abuse, nothing, then forced sexual contact and a variety of intimidation acts, including the threat of forced sodomy at the hands of the 5 upperclassmen.
Oh, yeah. This is getting hot.
It said that they were told to chew live goldfish and grab one another's genitalia. They also frequently were asked sexually explicit questions about themselves and members of the UVA women's swimming team.
Ooh.
The suit claims that there was physical harm done to one of the other first-year swimmers whose eye was injured when a glass bottle was smashed on the ground. So here's the crazy part. So of those 5 upperclassmen.
Oh, that's the crazy part coming up?
So here's the crazy part. So 5 upperclassmen, they were all suspended at the time.
Yeah, none of them returned to the team.
2 of them did. Two of them came back, and then they swam their fastest ever times at the ACC championships. So it's like, okay, you don't need, you know, you, we don't need you on the team. Unless it's the ACC championship, let's get him back. So they're still with the team. 2 other ones went to the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like
Michael Phelps went.
It's almost like a Catholic archdiocese. Like, oh my God, he fucked a kid over there. All right, let's get him somewhere else. Let's just get him up there. But he can still go on like preaching the word of God, but we got to get him somewhere else. So 2 more
it's
went to the University
like,
of Michigan.
Sal Alianso or whatever.
Sal Alosi.
From he fucked up in the NFL.
When he tripped when he was a member of the Jets. Yeah, and then. And then shit's starting to come out about that he was like posting pictures of Diddy's kid online.
Abusing the kid.
Whatever. And then the other swimmer is like MIA. But he's still
he drowned.
He's still on the virginiasports.com. He's still listed as a swimmer on the swim team.
Oh man.
Meanwhile, the guy who filed the lawsuit, he's now swimming at Northwestern. So either they don't do that gay shit up there or else he's just not invited when it happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure that
I think the most fucked up part about it was he went to the coach and the coach was like, "Oh yeah, we'll take care of it." And then he's like, "Look, man." He's like, "When you're at practice with these other guys, I can't guarantee your safety." Like, oh, that's really fucked up. If the coach say that shit.
Yeah, you're gonna want to practice on your own time when your teammates aren't here because I cannot guarantee your safety if you're swimming around your teammates.
Yeah, they might knock you out and drown you.
But what do you, so what do you think? Did you have any other stories like when you were growing up in Massachusetts? When I was growing up in Wisconsin, there were hazing stories already at that point, but it happened in like high school wrestling. So a town down a street called Johnson Creek, a couple of wrestlers were suspended, and I'm sure they were arrested because they shoved a broomstick up another wrestler's ass.
Ah, the classic broomstick up the ass move.
There was a story in 1999 about the Vermont hockey team making the young kids or the new members of the team do an elephant walk across campus.
One thumb up the tush, the other thumb grabbing a dick.
Correct. Well, I'm sure it's more than just the thumb grabbing the dick. I'm sure it's like one hand.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's other versions. Like you have one thumb in your mouth, the other thumb in a guy's ass in front of you. And then there was like Methodist College in 2002 and their Sharpie rape where they had like the upperclassmen come and like write some nasty shit on the guy's ass. And then like some of the upperclassmen like took it too far and like actually shoved the Sharpie up a guy's ass. So did you?
I remember in Michigan, one fraternity got kicked off campus because my cousin told me about this. They were like threatening kids with this BB gun. They shot a kid in the dick.
Yeah, it's
by accident with a BB gun. Well, when I was growing up in high school, every year we had to sign like an anti-hazing contract.
And did it work? Did you? Did you still do it?
I didn't fucking haze anyone.
Did you get hazed?
I mean, you get teas and shit, but nobody ever shoved a broomstick in my butt.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess my question for you is, like, do you look at this and say, oh, yeah, you know, it just builds team chemistry?
No, I look at it and say, that's fucked up.
Right. So, the point that I made on the Daily Upper Decker today, dailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Facebook, at Twitter, with the handle at Daily Upper Deck.
Yeah, there's going to be a WNBA article soon.
Yeah, and that kind of links it in. I like it. But I wrote about it today, and I was just like, all right, so go back to college and think about like when you hooked up with a fat chick. And you were just, or not necessarily fat, maybe you looked over and a chick was missing a couple of teeth or something like that, or just nasty. But that night you were just so hammered, you hooked up with her.
Missing an eye.
Anything, missing a limb, anything. So all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh my God. And like the last thing you wanted to do after like what you deemed an embarrassing situation was see that person, and you snuck out or you gave her a kiss on the forehead and just said, hey, that was great, I'll see you around. And then you just hoped, you prayed to God that she would either transfer schools or you'd never see her again. So I can't imagine that when you are forced to do an elephant walk with your thumb up one guy's ass and then reaching around behind you to grab the guy's cock behind you, I don't see how you'd be like, you know what? These are my teammates. I can't wait to go to hockey practice tomorrow. Or like swim team, you know, after you do something like that, after you're forced to grab like another teammate's cock and balls. Like I can't imagine like, hey, you know what? Now I can't wait to go swim with these guys. So I guess I just don't get the point of hazing like that.
Yeah.
You know, when I played 3 months of college baseball at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, before being cut, I made the fall tryouts, and then I thought I was going to redshirt, but because I got mono. And he cut me, and I never went out and played again. But, I was probably the worst kid on the team. I had a really good tryout. But, you know, the baseball guys would have parties every single night. Not every single night, but every single weekend. And we would go in. And I was a freshman, and they would be like, hey, shot. And they would give me shots and everything like that. But if I couldn't make it up the stairs, like one of the guys would walk me home. And that was it. It wasn't like, hey, man, let's take him back in the corner.
And murder him.
And let's shove a broomstick up his ass. Or you know what? Hey, let's
hey,
make
man, it. If he doesn't have enough shots, let's punch him in the face until he dies.
And you know what? It was simple. It was really simple shit. And I loved those guys. They were great. Like I couldn't wait to play baseball the next day because they would harass you a little bit and they would talk shit about you and try to get under your skin. But they would also at the same time they would take care of you. You know, it was and it created a good situation. That created team chemistry. Now a broomstick in the ass or like shoving a Sharpie up a guy's ass, I just don't get how these guys think, you know what, now they're going to want to be one unit with us.
Yeah, it's weird. But some of these dudes are fucked up, like someone did to me, now I have to do it to someone else.
Right. You would think that one of these guys would just stand up and say, hey guys, that isn't happening. We're not going to do it. Sure, get him in here. Let's drink a little bit. But if you see like someone like pass out, like I remember I would go to college parties and if I had too much, like and I would do the same thing for other people. Someone had too much and you were like, man, this guy's going to puke. You would like take him into his dorm room and you put him in bed. Yeah. He's never going to remember this.
Yeah.
So you would watch him and make sure that he wouldn't puke. Mm-hmm. And that was it. You would sleep. Make sure you're sleeping on his side, and you always have people who are taking care of you. I just, again, I don't get it. So if you're out there, if you're still listening at this point of this podcast, if you're still listening, and you think that a broomstick up the ass actually brings a team closer together, let me know how that works.
Yeah, and also let me know what kind of team it is.
I ran cross country, man. And let me tell you what, no one ever ran faster after getting a broomstick up the ass. I mean, it literally cut three times off the 3.3 mile run, or three minutes. Literally cut 3 minutes off the 3.3 mile run.
You got a broomstick stuff up your ass?
No, I'm just saying that would probably be the team. That would probably be the team. Like, it would be a cross country team where they would say, like, yeah, man, we shove broomsticks.
The only sport I could actually see a fucking broomstick getting shoved up your ass is Quidditch, the Harry Potter sport where they ride fucking brooms and it's just an accident happened.
Or, yeah, you know, like really, yeah, cross country. You come in like, hey, I'll tell you what. All of our freshmen come in. They're averaging about 6.5 minute miles. You shove that broomstick up their ass, 5.5. 5.5. Guaranteed to work. And at that point, I could see, yeah, you know, maybe you should come in and get a broomstick up your ass. But the rest of these guys,
hey man,
I'm not buying
it. If broomsticks took a minute off your mile time, everyone would shove a broomstick up their ass.
It's the Daily Upper Decker, dailyupperdecker.com, where you're not going to find articles about the women's soccer team. You're not going to find them, Andy.
Or even the men's soccer team.
No soccer on the Daily Upper Decker. However, tomorrow you will find a WNBA article that somehow...
Written out of spite, by the way.
Yes, because for the first time ever, we put the kibosh on an article because we don't write about soccer. However, swim teams that grab each other's cock and balls.
I'm going to write a cricket
front
article.
Front page stuff, buddy.
I'm going to write a fucking bass fishing article.
I'll take it. If it's funny, if the guy catches a bass and it comes in and rips his fucking head off, or, like, you know.
What if the bass sticks a broomstick up his ass?
Then that's a story. That is front page stuff. Perfect. On the Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
And broomsticks.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.